It is time, it is past time, that we sit down and have a very frank, very candid discussion about the real-world practical ramifications of Red Hat's racism. This is a big problem. This is a big problem practically, legally, and in most other measurable ways. Now, I'm going to ask that me, you, and everyone else listening, we put aside our politics for now. Because all of us are going to have a reaction to many of the topics we're about to cover. And many of those reactions are going to be real political. And I don't blame you, one way or the other. But for the purposes of what we need to talk about today, let's put all of that aside. Let's not worry about elections. Let's not worry about what various political parties may or may not want. And let's think about the practical realities of the policies at Red Hat and their parent company, IBM, and what impact that will have on their employees, on open source, on Linux specifically. Red Hat is, after all, one of the biggest contributors to the Linux kernel, to various Linux desktop environments and utilities, and to server Linux, to desktop Linux, to all of it. What impact is all of this going to have on the tech industry, the open source industry, Linux, the tech employees that work at Red Hat? It could be massive. So in order to do that, let's walk through what we know, practically what we know, not our opinions on it, but what we know right now. So let's start here. Let's start right here. With what we've learned so far, I have an article up at the Lunduke Journal that covers in chronological order the things we've learned so far from the various leaks out of both IBM and Red Hat. Since Red Hat is owned by IBM, all of the stuff coming from IBM is relevant here. Now, this all started last December. December 11th in 2023, James O'Keefe, now again, put your politics aside on this one. You may have strong opinions for or against James O'Keefe. I don't care. I don't care what you feel about him, me, anyone else. Let's just look at the facts. James O'Keefe published a leaked video of the CEO of IBM, Arvind Krishna. And what we learned of that was many things. But the key takeaways for me is that IBM will withhold bonuses from executives who fail to meet race-based hiring quotas, which means you have to hire in your company, in your division, a certain percentage of people based on skin color and ethnicity, or you will not, as an executive, get financial bonuses. Interesting. And IBM has fired people for refusing to discriminate based on the basis of race or skin color in their hiring, in their promotions. Actual managers and executives were fired because they would not be racist. Now, the very next day, the America First is a legal organization, filed a complaint against IBM for racial discrimination. All of this is still ongoing. In fact, there's multiple legal actions that are at this point all ongoing. Nothing's been decided. December 13th, just 2 days later, IBM had an all-staff call because of all this. And of course, James O'Keefe got the video clip for that as well. And James O'Keefe published the leaked video of IBM CEO Arvind Krishna discussing the December 11th leaks with the rest of his company. On that same day, the Lunduke Journal received and exclusively published the contents of a leaked internal Red Hat presentation. Now, this was absolutely fascinating. And two key takeaways from this presentation, I'm going to show you tidbits of this in a second, is that Red Hat and IBM consider the word ally to be fundamentally an anti-white concept, right? Meaning, in order to be an ally, capital A, you must view whiteness or white people as inherently bad. And I'm going to show you exactly where they say this. And Red Hat and IBM consider whiteness just flat out to be a bad thing. Let me see. Do I have this here? Here we are. So I published two articles based around this. The first was my personal feelings. I called it IBM Red Hat Whistleblower Leaks Internal Racist Anti-White Presentation, where Red Hat says, quote, whites feed and thrive on power at the expense of other races. This was given back in August of 2020. I received the entire PowerPoint slide for this. And just in case you're wondering why I'm not publishing the whole PowerPoint slide, I totally did. You can read the entire PowerPoint slide, every single slide, along with the presenter notes for the slide, some of which are really detailed and some of which aren't so detailed, but provide a lot of links. You'll find all sorts of stuff in here about, you know, what allyship is and how it is about, you know, being anti-white and the like. So let's go back here with this. And in case you're wondering, did Lunduke make this up? No. This was a real presentation given at an allyship kickoff meeting. It's well documented. Several people reported on it. And of course, if we scroll down way down here to the bottom, there's a lot of slides. There are lists of, where is it, the people that worked on it. So we know who worked on it. And if you look them up, they're very real people who talk about working on this presentation. This is all very, very real. This is verified every which way from Sunday and is easily verifiable by you at home with just the information provided right here where you can view the entire presentation. Now, I'm going to go back over here to my initial article on this. We learn a variety of things. First, we get commandments of allyship, which basically sets this up like a religious sort of event, right? You have to basically have the 10 commandments of being a good ally. And the whole document really reads it's part of a religious sect or an order. It's very fascinating. It includes things like white people are responsible for dismantling racism and only white people are racist, statements like reverse racism does not exist and white people have all the power. It also talks about how whiteness, whiteness has blindness, power, and divide and conquering as the key portions of just being white. That's how whiteness works, is you divide and conquer people. It's absolutely fascinating. But where really, really gets interesting is it starts to talk about the positives, the positive adjectives you would apply to blackness, right? Things like beauty and innovation and intelligence, whereas whiteness is just negativities, right? Like erasure. For example, judgment, theft, elitism, censorship, those are words about being white. Whereas words about being black, you know, you have things like celebrity and beauty and intelligence and innovation. It is page after page, slide after slide of white is bad, black is good, over and over and over again. Rinse, repeat. The entire purpose of this presentation is that white must be viewed as evil. Now leave your, again, political views on this at home. It is an overt statement by Red Hat at a Red Hat sanctioned event by Red Hat employees and management, supported and encouraged according to the presentation by Red Hat management with the Red Hat logo all over it. And it is a very, very extreme document. So this comes out. I want to go back over here to what we've learned so far. So this comes out on December 13th. Now, this was crazy. And it shed an additional light into what exactly was happening within Red Hat, the world's largest open source and Linux company, and within IBM. 7 days later, I started publishing more exclusives. And these ones were fascinating in that they didn't necessarily show more illegality, at least not in the big broad strokes, but they painted a very clear picture of the culture that the executives and the management team within Red Hat and IBM were trying to build. And I called these the IBM email and Slack leaks. This happened on December 20th. And things we learned from them is that IBM had its internal book clubs specifically for reading anti-white books. And I'm not talking about books that are one side or another politically. I'm talking about books that are specifically about white people are evil. And company resources and company time are used for those book clubs. They also have diversity training within IBM that is mandatory, which also teaches that white people are bad. Employees at IBM are encouraged to make a public pledge to IBM's anti-white definition of allyship that has a capital A, right? It's not lowercase ally, uppercase ally. It's a whole different word than the word ally in the dictionary. They define it as being fundamentally an anti-white concept. And I'm not talking about how I define what I think they're saying. I'm trying to tell you what they are saying. And again, if you go look at these articles, I provide all of the screenshots, all of the documents, and all of the links to all of it. Some of it's just publicly available, published PDFs and reports out of IBM and Red Hat. Some of it is leaked material that I provide verification info for. But either way, it starts to paint a very strange picture here. And employees, we also learn employees who promote ally, capital A, ideas are rewarded with badges. Right? They gamify the idea of being anti-white. The more anti-white you are, the more badges you receive. We also learned that executive compensation was directly tied to IBM employees adhering to and promoting these ideas. This is fascinating. So if you were a vice president over a division at IBM or any of their sub-companies like Red Hat, you get additional compensation or less compensation, depending on how well your employees adhere to capital A allyship and how many badges they got for being anti-white and for how few white people you hired. That's a very real thing. The CEOs have talked about it. The vice presidents have talked about it. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's just something that's happening. So it's fascinating. So that was published on December 20th. December 22nd, the Lunduk Journal again received more exclusive leaks, this time in the form of Red Hat CEO Matt Hicks during an all-hands call specifically talking about having racist hiring goals, specifically that Red Hat had a goal of hiring at least 30% black and 30% women candidates across the board. And this of course, is in line. It's not surprising. This is in line with the stated goals of IBM, the parent company. So that's not shocking. That's just expected, right? Now, Red Hat is aware of the leaks, right? They've made a statement in the video. They are aware of the leaks, at least as of December 13th. And they were at that point were not prepared to make a public statement. The next day... I published a series of leaks that were just ridiculous and weird. I call them the men's room door lectures. Click on that one if you want to. It gets weird. It's pictures of poster of little flyers that get taped to men's room doors talking about weird lectures and stuff. It's just strange and it adds color commentary to all of it. But that's all that is. Then December 26th, additional Lunduk Journal exclusives. Because people keep sending me stuff that's happening at IBM about the IBM word usage councils. This was internal Slack conversations at IBM where they talk about words that are, problematic. And it was just fascinating. I include it here not because of the illegality of it all, but because it helps to provide some sort of understanding of the general overall culture that's happening within IBM that the management and the executives are encouraging. for example, they talk about implicit bias in their training materials. Quote, I don't believe this is IBM specific. This looks to be application security sector specific. Clearly, this reveals that there is not enough diversity or black representation in that field. This is offensive and plays on the subtle racist views. This is, of course, talking about phrases like white hat and black hat, which have been around in the hacker space and many other spheres for decades. And but it's viewed as racist, right? And so there's all sorts of attacks on different languages to be used. There's several conversations with people talking about brown and yellow zones, which made me giggle. I'm not going to lie. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm on a call and I'm hearing about security related terms like brown zone and yellow zone. Are these terms we should be concerned about? Literally, people with an IBM heard a color, brown and yellow, and thought, I don't know if there's something racist here. It doesn't seem like it, but should we find something racist here? They literally are asking in Slack channels, hey, can we find something racist about the mentioning of colors? They're not related to people. These are not people-related colors. These are literally charts. Let me show you what this is. This is the network and model and policy model within IBM. It's been used for years. This is what was talked about when they talk about yellow zone. They're talking about zones of network security. Now, of course, there's blue and green and red, and there's brown zones, and there's all sorts of zones, right? Now, it's just that there's just a lot of colors. They're all color-coded. There's tons of them besides what are here. And they were trying to find ways to show that these were racist, right? The employees were encouraged to do this by their management. It's absolutely fascinating. And the reason I mention any of that is because it helps to provide an understanding of the culture that's being created. Now, things went a little bit quiet at that point. I still received more leaks here and there, but it wasn't the constant flurry of leaks that came from whistleblowers all during the month of December. And things were quiet. And then last week, something changed. And this is fascinating to me, and I don't have an answer for this. But last week, I received multiple whistleblower contacts from people I had never heard from before, as well as contacts from two previous whistleblowers with additional material. And it all came within the span of about 3 days. Out of nowhere, it went from dead silence to a whole bunch of leaked material specifically from Red Hat, specifically from disgruntled Red Hat employees that were not happy about what was happening. And it all seemed to focus around one thing: ethics violations and reporting of ethics violations. I'm gonna go back over here to my most recent article. I published this one earlier today. Red Hat whistleblowers say company ignores ethics violations when those violations are in line with racist or sexist policies. I'm gonna read this article to you now. It's fairly short, and I think it's important for understanding what is going to happen next. Over the last several months, we've learned a great deal about the racist and sexist policies within Red Hat. I think we just went through a good chunk of those. There's a lot more detail, but I think we've outlined it well enough. The largest Linux company on Earth and parent company IBM. This includes corporate training, which teaches that whiteness is a bad thing, racist pledge systems, skin color-based hiring quotas, and more. It should be noted that all of those things are illegal at the federal level in the United States, under several laws. And in fact, as far as I know, there are significant numbers of laws against all of those things in every state of the United States where Red Hat does business. So those are worth noting, because I'm not talking about political things here. I'm talking about the laws on the book that Red Hat is very clearly violating, right? Now, thanks to whistleblowers continuing to provide leaked material to the Lunduk Journal, we have learned that Red Hat ignores reports of corporate ethics violations when those violations are in line with Red Hat's established racist policies. Let's dive into the details here. Red Hat provides only one system which allows employees to anonymously report ethics violation. They call it the Red Hat Ethics Hotline. I'm going to show you a screenshot of it here. This is provided by an external third-party company called Conversant, right? Conversant provides this service for Red Hat. We could go into detail about why that is, but for right now, we'll just leave it at that. This ethics hotline includes this note from Tom Savage, the senior vice president and general counsel, lawyer for Red Hat. Whether you speak up, through this compliance and ethics hotline or another reporting channel, take comfort in knowing, as outlined in the Code of Business Conduct and Ethics, that Red Hat is committed to protecting associates from retaliation, right? Okay, so that's from Tom Savage, Senior Vice President at Red Hat and General Counsel of Red Hat, right? So he should know these things. However, this statement from Red Hat's General Counsel appears to be untrue, or at the very least, Red Hat employees, the ones that have reached out to the Lunduk Journal privately and anonymously in some cases, those employees do not believe it to be true. And as reported by whistleblowers within Red Hat, it is felt that making purely anonymous complaints is the only safe way of reporting politically sensitive topics. That's a direct quote from one of the whistleblowers. So let's talk about the ethics violations being ignored by Red Hat. According to one whistleblower, reports of ethics violations are, quote, always ignored. Now, that's just from one whistleblower's point of view, but we had multiple whistleblowers that seemed to back this sort of statement up. Another whistleblower submitted multiple reports using the ethics hotline, only to have each one closed, marked as closed, like you would a bug report, with no details or resolution of any kind. Reports were closed, quote, suddenly, with no notice or explanation or marking. Now, the following is a screenshot of one such ethics violation report. I got multiple ones of these. I'm only publishing at the moment this one from this particular whistleblower. This particular whistleblower provided several, but in order to make sure that the privacy of this whistleblower is maintained, I'm only publishing one at this moment to make it more difficult to figure out who this whistleblower is. This received no response of any kind, was closed. You can see it marked there, status, closed. Files, no files. Messages, no messages. None whatsoever. And I'm going to read the incident to you because I think it's important to all of this. Contrary to Matt Hicks, the CEO of Red Hat, statement that discrimination of any kind, including based on race, has absolutely no place at Red Hat, executives practice race and sex discrimination programs for internal advancement. This includes the Engineering Leadership Accelerator program for women only. This includes the Sponsorship Mentorship program, which aims to assist members of, quote, underrepresented, unquote, groups, only for career advancement advocacy by senior leaders. These appear to represent violation of U.S. employment and civil rights law by excluding people from career advancement based upon their race or sex. And then he provides two links to where those are they're talked about. Now, it appears that the majority of people who were providing these whistleblower leaks, were complaining and making ethics violation reports about a wide number of things that we just talked about in this video. Quotas for race-based hiring and promotions, folk presentations that talked about skin color and whether or not you were good or bad based on your skin color, and a wide variety of things that were distinctly illegal for companies to do, and therefore you'd think would be a pretty good candidate for an ethics violation, right? So you'll know that this ethics violation report directly dealt with race and sex-based discrimination within the hiring and career advancement programs at Red Hat. So that is a topic which, regardless of outcome and regardless of your political views on it, is the type of potential ethics violation with severe legal consequences which any company would want to take seriously. If you receive an ethics violation report that says that your company is potentially in violation of several federal and state laws and regulations, you take that seriously even if you disagree with them. Because those are things you need to be careful about, right? Because you open yourself up to many lawsuits, to federal actions, all sorts of things. The potential there is severe. Yet, this ethics hotline report, along with several others, provided to the Lunduk Journal for review was marked as closed with not so much as a note explaining why. It certainly wasn't resolved. It was just simply closed. Now, whether that be the fault of the system being used or an issue with Red Hat corporate policy, is it the policy of Red Hat to simply ignore things they perhaps disagree with? Or actions by the individuals that are responsible for reviewing these violation reports? I don't know. Yet, one Red Hat whistleblower says, quote, there is no real way for employees to report ethics violations. Because if they report an ethics violation, it just goes into the trash can. We just saw that. And that's when you do it anonymously. If you don't do it anonymously, it's not safe, according to multiple whistleblowers. So what do we know? What do we know here? Let's walk through this. Red Hat, along with parent company IBM, has multiple racist and sexist programs of, at very best, highly dubious legality, right? That's at best. Many of which would constitute clear ethics violations. Two, while Red Hat provides a mechanism for employees to report such ethics violations, those reports, at least when dealing with racist and sexist actions of individuals or the company within Red Hat, and dealing with the corporate policy, are ignored and closed without a stated reason. And three, Red Hat employees feel unsafe reporting such violations in any non-anonymous way. They fear retribution. It's fascinating. Now, these facts, let's be very clear here. They paint a highly unsavory picture of Red Hat's commitment or lack of commitment to behaving and doing business in an ethical way. But, what impact does this have on their employees? I mean, think about this for a moment. A significant portion of their employees are not going to like this, whether it's politically or because they themselves have been wronged, passed over for promotion, etc., because of their skin color or their gender, or because they weren't part of the correct minority group. They were literally, people have been talking about being passed over for promotion. What happens to Red Hat and the employees when multiple employees start going after Red Hat for damages? It looks to me from the outside like they have a very good case because Red Hat brags about doing this. They brag about passing over people based on skin color. They say, you have a certain skin color, you have a certain gender, therefore you don't get hired, you don't get promoted. That is literally, literally what Red Hat says. That is, and they say it repeatedly. That's what Red Hat says, that's what IBM says, and that's their goal, right? It's not a side effect. That is a stated goal. They state it in videos. The CEOs, they state it in Slack chats. They state it in leaked emails. They state it in public reports posted to their website. It's all over the place. Those are illegal. Whether you agree with it or I agree with it or not, it don't matter. It's illegal. So why is Red Hat opening themselves up to that potential legal action from their employees? Now, of course, that's making a lot of assumptions. That's assuming that the employees have the financial and time ability to go after Red Hat. That's assuming the employees aren't terrified of going after Red Hat. Red Hat is an 800-pound gorilla in this industry. You go against Red Hat and you start suing Red Hat, you're going to have a hard time finding work at a lot of companies. So you've got to be financially stable and basically ready to retire anyway to legally go after Red Hat. And I have to wonder if Red Hat isn't thinking about that when they're doing these moves. But just the same, one successful lawsuit against Red Hat and the dominoes just fall. And then if that were to happen, what happens to the investment in both open source in general and Linux desktops and servers specifically that Red Hat puts in? Now, over the last year to 2 years, Red Hat has significantly dialed back their contributions to open source projects and to Linux. They've fired people who did significant work on the Fedora Linux project. They got rid of their support of the LibreOffice Office Suite project. They don't do that anymore. They used to hire a person specifically to work on it. They don't do that anymore. A number of projects, they just kind of canned one after another. They had a series of layoffs where they got rid of a lot of Linux-specific headcounts, and they've shifted their business focus a bit. So one could make the argument that that is on the way anyway, that Red Hat is already moving away from both open source and Linux. But just the same, right now, Red Hat still contributes a huge amount of code, documentation, testing, etc., to not just the Linux kernel, but multiple open source projects, right? It may be shifting, it may be moving away, but it's still a tremendous amount. If Red Hat alienates all of the people who are, let's say, white or men, which seems to be their goal. Again, they have whole slides where they tell you you are flat out evil if you are white, especially if you're a man, right? They say, like, again, the entire presentation is here. This is huge. It is huge. I put it up there totally unedited. It's called the Allyship Kickoff Presentation. Read it. Read the whole thing. As you go through it, you will stop and go, you know what? That sentence isn't so bad. And then you move to the next sentence and you go, oh my gosh, that's horrific, right? It's a mix. Because there are some statements in this Allyship Kickoff, I'm not going to go over it all right now because I'll let you read it and judge for yourself, that I agree with. There are a few. And there's other statements where I read them and I am immediately horrified by the intense racism of it all because it's over the top. As a Gen X person, I find it wildly offensive. We were always raised as Gen Xers to be colorblind, right? It didn't matter. Didn't matter if you were black or white or Asian or Hispanic. It didn't matter. You were all people, and so you were all cool, right? That was the Gen X way. And to see it go totally out the window at Red Hat, and where Red Hat says flat out, certain skin colors, certain ethnicities are good, and certain ethnicities are inherently evil and bad. Wow. I mean, not only is it off-putting, but almost more importantly, for the entirety of the open source world, it is illegal. But let's look at the off-putting part of it for a second now. Let's really think about this just for a moment. Let's think about the off-puttingness of saying that white people are really bad. That's just not political, not legal, just what is the effect that that has on the employees of an organization when the executive team, the management team, and all layers of it come to you with an official presentation supported by management, followed up by town halls from the CEO stating specifically that who you are is evil and you are not going to be getting the promotion because of your stupid, ugly, evil skin color? What does that do to a person? Now, I don't care what your skin color is. No matter who you are, whether they're coming after you for skin color or religion or gender or whatnot, that's not exactly going to give you a whole lot of motivation to do a great job and to stick around, right? That is demoralizing to the extreme. That's horrifying. Horrifying, angering even. I mean, think about who you are. What are you when you look in the mirror? A man, a woman, white, black, Asian, whatever. Let's say you're Swedish. Let's say if you're a Swedish lady and you go to work every day at Microsoft and you're a Swedish lady. And one day Microsoft has a presentation that's literally entitled, Everyone's Great Except the Swedes. And it's not a joke. It's not like some sort of a comedy bit. It's literally, here's a list of negative adjectives about Swedish people, right? They steal. They erase your identity. They're coming for you. They're Swedes. Well, are you going to sit in that meeting and feel real good about everything? Are you going to suddenly feel like your company, your coworkers, your management have your back? No. It's going to go badly. And so now what we have here is just in practical real world terms, at Red Hat, the largest Linux company on planet Earth, and one of the biggest contributors in so many ways to Linux and open source, is a huge number of their employees demoralized, isolated, angry, attacked constantly, passed over for promotion, having multiple federal and state laws broken, harming them demonstrably, potentially including their income, so financial harm. Oh my. Oh my. If you change this around and you make this that Red Hat is attacking black people, and you say instead of whites feed and thrive on power at the expense of other races, if you said blacks feed and thrive on power at the expense of other races, if Red Hat said that, every news channel would erupt into flames. Right? You know it's true. You know it's absolutely true. Therefore, from a legal perspective and an ethical and moral perspective, what Red Hat is doing is putting a tremendous number of people in a very sticky situation, including putting their executives in a very difficult situation. Because Red Hat's board has basically demanded that their executives implement these extremely racist programs. I don't see how there's a net win here. I don't see how there's a positive that comes out of this in terms of the health of Red Hat going forward, in terms of employee morale and satisfaction and productivity. I don't see how that happens. I don't see how this is a net positive for the open source and Linux industry, because ultimately this just seems like something that's going to lead to less being contributed, both in terms of people not having the interest or morale to contribute, and because Red Hat may lose an awful lot of headcount and an awful lot of money, and they just might not be able to contribute so much. The outcome is negative, no matter how you slice it. Politics be damned. There's just no positive here. Now, one really interesting thing is the ripples from this spread all throughout the tech industry, because Red Hat is not the only company doing this. There are others as well. And the tech journalism industry is covering for them. This information is well known, well established, and extremely well researched at this point. We have lengthy video clips. We have video clips of CEOs at both Red Hat and IBM agreeing that most of these leaks are legit. We have companies, individuals, managers bragging about creating some of this material. And it's easy, incredibly easy, like 5 minutes on the internet, easy to verify the vast majority of this stuff. and despite huge numbers of people having seen this material so far, for many of you, this will be new to you, because Wired doesn't cover it. The Register doesn't cover it. ZDNet doesn't cover it. None of the major Linux, open source, or tech or computer news in general cover it. And that includes podcasters, YouTubers, written journalists, online and print magazines. They ignore it all. And why do they ignore it all? Because of money. They make their living entirely based, with very few exceptions, on advertisements and sponsorships from companies that are doing exactly this stuff, including Red Hat and IBM. And these journalists and the editors at these publications rely on having a good working relationships with these companies in order to put out their material. These companies, Red Hat, in fact, Red Hat just recently had their Red Hat Summit where they wine and dine journalists. And I know they get wined and dined because it used to be my job to wine and dine journalists. I used to work at SUSE, one of the other big Linux companies. And when it became time to wine and dine journalists, oh, did we wine and dine them. Steak and wine and skydiving events. Seriously, we took them out and had fun. Yeah, we wine and dine them. We win and curry their favor. And we make sure that those journalists do not publish these sorts of stories about our companies publicly. And that's what's happening. That's why you only see it on the Lunduk Journal. That's why I'm literally the only tech journalist out there that's covering these things. That's why I'm the only one that gets sent these things. New whistleblowers are coming out all the time talking to me about stuff from IBM and Red Hat and Microsoft and Canonical even. I keep getting leaked material because I'm the only one who's willing to jab the hornet's nest with a stick, to go up to the sleeping bear and go, poke, 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 poke. I don't mind doing it because I don't take any money from any of them. So if you want to support the work that I do, head on over to Lunduk.com. If you go actually to Lunduk.com, you go to a place called Lunduk Link Central. And Lunduk Link Central will give you the RSS podcast feeds and where to follow me on Twitter or X, and as well as just page after page of some of the history articles that I have written, which have nothing to do with anything political. Most of the work of the Lunduk Journal never even touches politics. It never even touches these intense, sticky things. But sometimes it does. Sometimes it has to, because these companies keep doing these things and someone needs to cover them. Because if nobody covers these things, then nobody knows really what's going on in the tech industry. So I have to cover them. So anyway, go to Lunduk.com if you want to subscribe to the Lunduk Journal to get all of these articles as they are published to support the work that I do. Go to Lunduk.locals.com. Click on things that let you subscribe, and it helps keep the lights on here and keep me fed and caffeinated as I'm going through more of these whistleblower leaks. Now, I hope that things turn around with Red Hat. I truly do. And I think it's possible for Red Hat to turn it around, but not without significant hardship. I don't see how Red Hat turns this around personally without significant numbers of managers and executives being fired and getting scapegoated for the work that's getting done. Because the work that's getting done is extremely racist and extremely illegal. Again, if you are a whistleblower, if you are out there, and I think I've got a link in here somewhere. Yes, there's a link. If you go to Lunduk.com, you scroll down, there's a link that says, here's how to leak files and info to the Lunduk Journal anonymously. Boom. You go there. I've got a step-by-step on how to use anonymous email accounts, how to send me large files, how to do all of it. I also, once I get files from you, I never publish the original files you send me because I don't want any potentially identifying material to get back to you. File names, dates, metadata inside files. I don't want any of that to get published. So I publish screenshots of every file that I get. I never publish the originals. If you send me videos, I'd retranscode it even. Like I don't want anything to get back to you because the privacy and anonymity, if you want to stay anonymous, of the whistleblowers that provide material to the Lunduk Journal is of paramount importance. I have not ever and will not ever give up the personal information of any whistleblower that contacts the Lunduk Journal, unless you specifically say, hey, tell people who I am, and then I will. But to date, no one's wanted that. But if you ever want that, I would say, hey, Ted sent me this. But no one named Ted has been sending me stuff, by the way. But if you do, Ted, want me to publish stuff and put your name on it, I'd be more than willing to. But otherwise, I keep everything very anonymous for you, and I keep your privacy very well intact because that is critically important. All right, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. This is a big thing. Spread this around. Tell people. Send people this video. Send people the articles. I will provide a link to the article of what we have learned so far. That's a great place to go to get a summary, to get a chronological timeline of a lot of the most important leaks that have come out of Red Hat and IBM over the last several months. Send those to people because the main tech news industry is not going to cover this. They are not going to. You are not going to see this news on the Register for very many reasons, because they don't have the spine to cover it. ZDNet does not have the backbone to cover this. Wired, The Verge, none of them will cover this because it would hurt their political feelings, because it does get political, even though it shouldn't. And it will also hurt their bottom line and their checkbook. They don't have the cojones to tackle this. Someone does. All right, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, nerds and nerdettes across the internet, I do declare, end broadcast.